Hey guys, Maestro here, bringing you episode 117 of Maestro on the Mic, doing it Thursday shorty style. In today's episode, we're talking about how to find a good provider and the top 5 questions that you should be asking. But first, DJ, give me that heartbeat.
This is Maestro on the Mic,
a podcast designed to help you change your mindset and your life.
It is time for something new.
Join host Dr. Shante Cofield, also known as the Movement Maestro, on a journey to see the bigger picture.
Open your eyes.
Find your passion.
And discover how movement unites us all.
Let's get it poppin'.
This is Maestro on the Mic. I'm the Maestro, and you're about to get maestrified.
3, 2, 1.
Hey, you guys, Maestro here, and you already know that intro was a bunch of clickbait. As if anything I ever say I can boil down to the 5 questions you need to be asking your provider to make sure they're good. Whatever. I put that in there just because that was funny. So welcome, guys. This episode, I'm really pumped to dive into. I have been getting a few questions from you guys, primarily through DMs, some emails. Basically asking, you know, what should I look for in a provider? How do I know if a provider is good? How do I find a good provider? And this is a great question and one that I thought warranted a podcast. And I kind of sat on it, though, because I have a tendency to ramble, as I'm doing right now. And I was like, I probably need to try and make this a bit more concise and kind of actually give people something to sink their teeth into. So I'm going to try and provide some sort of order to this. Okay, so again, just the overarching theme here is, how do I find a good provider? For starters, I want you to keep 2 things in mind. One, and I'm just going to speak about physical therapists here. All right? Physical therapists are coaches, not allopathic doctors. Okay, physical therapists are coaches, not allopathic doctors. And yes, I'm using allopathic in somewhat of a pejorative way. Drew said that on the show last time, and I was like, I love it. When I say that, I mean the typical model that so many people are just against now. We know that it's kind of failing us, where you say you have something, the doctor just looks at symptoms, looks at you for 2 seconds, and tries to give you some sort of medication, right? A very kind of cause and effect thing, like, oh, you have this, I will give you this, which works if you have like a disease or like an infection. You know, we can treat it, but we still have to figure out why you got that thing in the first place. So physical therapists are coaches, not allopathic doctors. Yes, we have a doctorate, DPT, but PTs, I'm talking to you here, you really want to be viewed as a coach. You want the relationship of a coach, not that of an allopathic doctor. When you have that relationship established, when people come in, they understand that this is going to be a team effort, not that you're going to do something onto them. Flip side, as a patient coming in, you should view your physical therapist as a coach, someone who's going to guide you and work with you, but not do the work for you, right? You are not broken, and therefore you do not need fixing, okay? And point number 2 that I want you to take on this journey with us. I want you to look yourself in the mirror and really ask yourself here and really think, am I looking for a good provider, or am I just looking for a provider who will say what I want to hear? And for some people, this could be like, oh, you're calling me out, I feel attacked here. But you really have to take a step back and say, am I out here asking other people for help and I'm truly looking for a good provider because I haven't come across one or I don't know where to start? Or am I just looking for someone who will say what I want to hear? Okay, so those are the 2 things that I want you to carry with you, kind of keep in the back of your mind as we go through this episode. Moving forward, I'm going to break this, or I've tried to break this into 4 different themes or 4 different sections and a little bit of discussion about each of the 4 points that I want people to think about. So when I was creating this episode and kind of writing it up, which I usually don't do, I just usually kind of speak off the cuff, but this one I was like, get your shit organized. When I was putting this together, I tried to put myself in both the position of the clinician and the patient and see, you know, what I want to say, what I would want to hear. from both sides. So from the clinician standpoint, and this is why I didn't just provide a list of five things you should ask, because as a clinician, I wouldn't really, or I would be kind of put off by someone that just came in and just like, you know, firing questions away. Have you read this book? Did you do this? Did you take this course? Like, okay, let's have that discussion. And there's a time and a place for it. And you're not wrong for asking those things. But if that's like your only criteria, I think that you're going to miss the mark, or you're not necessarily, it's not the best way to go about finding a provider that's a good fit. All right. So what follows are the four things, or the four steps, that I think you as a patient should take when you're trying to find a provider. All right. Number one, do your own research and try to help yourself. Number two, figure out and then write down what matters to you. Number three, ask around and then do some searching. And then number four, invest your time and money. All right, so 4 points there, and we're gonna tease out each one of them. So point number one, do your own research and try to help yourself. I've always felt that the way that we're gonna fix this healthcare model or system is from the bottom up, meaning patients need to be educated and they need to take initiative. This is your health. This is your body. You should know something about it. Yeah, I know that we see a lot of memes out there that are like, you know, don't confuse your WebMD search with my, you know, 4 years or 100 years of PT school or whatever it is. I get it. But I do want my patients and clients to come in knowing something. And that something doesn't necessarily have to be like gross anatomy. Research can come in the form of, hey, I've just been exploring my movement and I've been trying these things and this causes me pain, or I can't do this, right? It doesn't have to just be like, oh, I, you know, read up online, I read all these articles and I think that I have patellofemoral dysfunction, whatever. You know what I mean? It needs to be that this person has some sort of idea as to what's going on in their own body, what they're feeling. So you as a patient, I need you to do some research and try to help yourself first. And this ties back into that initial, you know, point that I wanted you to think about, which is, are you looking for a good provider or just someone who will say what you want to hear? I'm not at all trying to put down or discredit what we as physical therapists do, but it's not open heart surgery. A lot of it is, you know, movement correction and things like that. And yeah, there's a manual side, but a lot of what we do, you can do on your own. And most PTs, you know, present day PTs will tell you that. Like, they're trying to empower you and teach you how to do these things on your own. That in mind, it's not a bad idea if you've tried to do these things on your own, right? You did some reading or you asked around and you just listened to your body and you're like, when I run a lot, it hurts. Okay, so maybe try running less, or getting stronger, or moving in a different way. Just try some things out and understand that it's going to take time. If you've done a bunch of things, and rest is absolutely an appropriate intervention at times, or at least doing less of the thing that's irritating, whatever it is that you know, your back or your knee or whatever. It's absolutely an appropriate thing. We have to let tissues rest and kind of get rid of some inflammation. If you've done a bunch of things and it's not getting better, then this is actually in and of itself research. And you bring that to your PT and you're like, hey, I've tried these things and this is what I got. The flip side, and this is really relates to that original thing that I want you to think about. If you've gone to see a bunch of different providers and all of them are telling you the same thing, I need you to be very honest with yourself and ask, am I looking for a good provider? Were all of these providers bad? Or am I just looking for someone who will say what I want to hear? And typically this comes in the form of the patient who is chronically injured, right? Their person is just like doing all of these things, doing all of these sports, or doing this single sport over and over and over again, and they keep getting hurt. And they go see a bunch of providers and all the providers are like, hey, maybe you should do a little bit less of this. And that person's like, oh, nope, I'm going to go to the next provider. There is a difference between someone saying you will never do this again and maybe we should take a little break or slow down right now. Those are very, very different. And I get it. Movement and sport becomes a part of our identity. But you have to be very, very realistic with yourself and say, am I looking for a good provider, or am I just looking for someone who will tell me what I want to hear, who will say, you can keep doing this thing, it's not going to damage anything, you're not going to get any worse, even though you know deep down that this is actually making me worse. So, point number one, do your own research and try to help yourself. That can come in the form of, yes, reading things, but also just movement exploration and trying different things and giving each of those things time. I tried running less. I tried running and I actually started logging my miles and switching up how often I was running, or I changed my footwork. Just try something. Get your own research so that you have some stuff to bring with you when you go to see that provider. Okay. Moving on to point number two, or step number two, figure out and then write down, what matters to you. And I'm speaking in terms of a provider and in terms of the ambiance or the place where you're going to get treated. This can be hard to do without ever having done the thing, because oftentimes when you go and do something, you figure out what you don't like, and then it makes it easier to write these lists down. But I think this is very important, and it ties into that point of viewing a physical therapist as a coach, not as an allopathic doctor. You are an active participant in this, so what you want matters, and what you want should be at the center of this, right? It's a truly patient-centered model. So for point number two, you're going to figure out and write down what matters to you. Now, I did come up with a little bit of a list here so that you guys aren't just sitting there like, well, fuck, Maestro, like, this is why I asked you. So come up with a little bit of a list, and here's just some examples. Ask yourself, when I'm thinking about a provider and I'm looking for a provider, do I want a provider who listens? In my opinion, this is absolute, but just things that you should be writing down. And this way, when you go there and you have this interaction, you can be like, oh, they didn't listen to me. I realize now why I felt that way, because they weren't checking off point number one for me, right? Do you want a provider that listens? Do you want a provider that asks questions? Do you want a provider that's willing to consider your opinion, or, you know, that they value your opinion? Do they even ask your opinion on what's going on? You know, what you think could be done? Are you enjoying things? Things like that, right? Do you want someone that's just there to hold you accountable? I don't mean just hold you accountable, but is that something that you're really looking for? Someone that's going to check in with you, email with you, whatever, really hold you accountable. And we kind of see that a lot more in the trainer space than we do in the physical therapy space. But this question that I got, you know, it applies to any kind of provider at all. So do you want someone that's going to be there to hold you accountable? Is that the main reason you're going? There's nothing wrong with that. If it is, like, maybe you know what you need to do, but you just don't do it. So you pay someone for accountability. Nothing wrong with that. Do you want someone who's approachable? Again, I would like that, but everyone's different. Do you care about their schooling? Some people do, some people don't. Does that matter to you? Like, write it down and don't think of like, ah, oh, that's so whatever. Just write. I want you to take a piece of paper out and just, or on a phone. I mean, it's like 2019 here. I don't know who writes stuff down on a piece of paper, although I'm doing this episode from a piece of paper, but still. Write down, does schooling and courses that they went to matter to you? All right, cool, then write that stuff down. Do you want someone who will explain things? Or maybe you don't like that. I'm going to just caution you here with, I feel like you should care a little bit. I get it. It can be very enticing just to be like, just tell me what to do. I get it, because we have busy days, busy schedules, we're stressed out. And we just want someone that's going to be like, hey, go and do this thing. But knowledge truly is power. And I said earlier, I think the way that we're going to fix this broken healthcare system is from the bottom up, and by having more educated patients who are willing to take the initiative and really fight for their themselves and their own rights. So I think it is somewhat prudent if you are willing to have some sort of discourse with that person, and you know, that they can explain things, right? So that point being, do you want someone who can explain things? Do you care that they know how to explain things and that they can actually explain things? Because that is a nice way to check, you know, what's going on. If the person can't really explain to you why they're doing the thing, that could be a red flag, right? Do you want someone who's willing to say, like, I don't know, or I'm not 100% certain, but we're going to figure it out. I know for me, that's how I approach things. I'm totally fine with saying I don't know, but we're going to figure it out together. Does that matter to you? Does that is important to you? Do you want someone who's a drill sergeant? Maybe you do. Right? If that's what you like, write that down. Take that with you. Do you care if they're male or female? Right? You need to feel safe and comfortable in the environment that you're at. I say all the time, the nervous system is queen. You want gains? Make her feel safe. Speak her language. Right? She will reward you handsomely. As such, if you don't feel comfortable with one gender or the other, write that down. And this is something that you need to be looking for when you go and find a provider, because good providers come in all shapes and sizes and forms, right? Does the person do the thing that you want to be doing or that you do, right? Are they a runner? Do you even lift, bro, right? Or do they do CrossFit? Have they drank the Kool-Aid of whatever it is that you're into? For me, I do like that in a provider. And some people don't care about that, but if it's something that matters to you, write it down. Or you think it might matter to you, write it down. Moving forward with that, kind of what matters to you, think about the ambience, the atmosphere of where you're going to be treated, if you're going to go to a physical place. Right? Do you want it to be in a gym or a more active setting? Do you want a private room? Do you need more privacy? Do you want more privacy? Again, neither one is more correct. Just try to figure out what matters to you. What do you need to feel safe and in order to feel comfortable? Do you want a more clinical setting? Do you like that? All right, cool. Then write that down. Do you want a provider that wears a stethoscope? Like, okay, write these things down. And perhaps they are negotiable once you get in there, but at least write this down. So this way, when you go to reflect on that session, you can say, you know, I felt really good about this, or maybe I didn't feel so good. And then you can go through that list and be like, oh, because they didn't check off any of these boxes. Okay, so just a few things you can, you know, rewind it. That was kind of a long list, but just a few things to think about. And I want you to write it down. What matters to you, both in terms of the actual provider and in terms of the physical location or the atmosphere? Right? Because this is a patient-centered model. And we said, tying back into that overarching theme, this is a team effort here. Okay, so we're going to move on to step, question, point, whatever. Number 3, ask around and then do some searching. So I'm all about referrals, right? Ask your friends, ask your family, ask as Kathy Sierra likes to say. I'll link that episode because I freaking loved it. Word of obvious. So if you're thinking about looking for a nutrition coach, one of the things that I would do is look at other people who look the way that I want to look and ask them what they did. Right? Do you have a coach? Oh, cool. Maybe I want to go and look into that coach, right? So ask around. I love social media. I get people asking me things, or, you know, asking for providers or asking about me treating. I tell you guys all the time, I don't really treat that much anymore. And so my first instinct is to try and find you someone that's nearby. So ask around. Go to the interwebs. Go to people that you respect. Ask them, hey, do you have any recommendations of, you know, PT, chiro, whatever profession you're looking for that's in my area. Once you get some recommendations, go and do a little bit of searching yourself. See what their website looked like. See what their social media presence is. Flip side, talk to my providers right now. This is why you should have at least something up on these different platforms if you can. Like, whether you like it or not, like, it's 2019 and this is how people tend to look for other people and look for new things. So at least just having some sort of landing page, some sort of something that this person can find you at and then they can contact you from is a good idea. I'm not saying that you have to be on Instagram and you have to post every day, but just having something there, even if it's just a single post that says, hey guys, I don't really love social media, but I'd love to talk to you. So if you found me here, email me because that's my best platform. Whatever, just so that this person can actually find you. And, you know, from the flip side, as a patient, that can matter, right? Like, is that person's website really janky? I don't care if you think that's really superficial of me. It's what I care about. You know, like I've said before, how you do anything is how you do everything. So to me, someone that's putting in the time to just show that they care, they've updated this thing, they put a little bit of effort into it, I'm more likely to go to that person than the other person that has like this janky thing or hasn't updated it at all. Like, that's just me personally. And that ties into point number 2, because I know what I like, what I need, what I'm expecting from someone. If that doesn't matter to you, then don't go look at those things. But Point number three, ask around, ask your friends, ask people that you respect, and then go do some of the research yourself and see if, based on what you found, they're already starting to check off those boxes that you listed in point number two. Okay, moving on to the fourth and final step, directive, initiative, whatever. Invest the time and the money. Remember, your health is an investment, not an expense. One of the things that I see people doing, or one of the reasons I see people not doing things, is because they're like, oh, I don't want to spend the money. I don't want to waste the money. I don't want to waste my time. Then whatever that thing is that's bothering you ain't bothering you that much. If it really bothered you, if it's stopping you from doing what you want to do, you go and spend money. You go and spend time. Problem is, I get it, we're really busy, but we tend to not address things until they become really bad and our leg is like falling off. And then we're like, my provider sucks because they couldn't put my leg back on. They used rock tape and it didn't work. Like, well, that's, I wonder why. So point number four, invest the time and the money. Circling back to my coach analogy, right, that I want you to view physical therapists as coaches, not as allopathic medical doctors. When you're looking for a coach, right, I think I can provide a story from my past. Right, when I was looking at college, like I went to play soccer, or I played soccer in college, and I was looking at Division I schools, and you look at the coaches, you look at the atmosphere, and you go and you ask around, right? You figure out, like, point number two, what matters to you, what you think matters. You know, step number three, you go and you do some searching, you ask other people. But point number four, like, you have to go and do the thing yourself, because the recommendations you get from other people are opinions. And I did a whole podcast on this. I think it was a long time ago. But at the end of the day, it's what a recommendation is. It's an opinion. It's this thing that I'm recommending to you was favorable for me. So that person may be recommending that provider because that provider checked off the boxes. It checked off their number, the boxes from their number two. That sounded weird, their number two, but you guys know what I'm saying there. So maybe that person was like, yeah, I like having a drill sergeant. I like having a provider that doesn't really talk to me or tell me what to do. And I love this person. I had a great experience with them. And then you go and you're like, shit, I hate this PT and they are terrible. Right. So at the end of the day, you take those recommendations, but you have to go and invest the time and the money. And a lot of it, too, you may not be able to really feel until you actually go to the place and you speak with that person, you have an interaction, you get a feel for that facility. So one of the things you can do, and some PTs offer this, my boy Giorgio Lavacca does this, is like kind of an exploratory call. And we see this with trainers and we see this with life coaches and things like that, where and Danny Matei does it, love it, where you'll hop on a 30-minute call, 15-minute call, 45-minute call, whatever, a call with that prospective client and talk about basically the stuff that I just went through. Like, what is this person looking for? What, or, you know, what have they tried in the past? All these things, just to see if it's going to be a good fit. So you could reach out to that prospective provider and say, you know, do you offer these exploratory calls? Or I'd love to chat with you beforehand if possible. You know, just that person may say, no, I don't really have the time. And that's not an initial, that's not a red flag right off the bat, because people are busy, but it is warranted, you know, or it is worthwhile, I should say, to reach out and try and see if you can communicate with that person beforehand. Okay. So I did come up with another list to kind of help you out, because I think once you get into that space, it is really good to have a discussion. I don't want you to go in and pepper that person with, did you read this? Did you take this course? When did you graduate? How old are you? Like, that is a lot. And that's a red flag for the clinician. But I did come up with some questions that, you know, I'd want to ask and that I think you should ask. And some of these can be asked on the phone. I think most of them could probably be asked on the phone or asked beforehand, but can definitely be discussed when you're there. Okay, so let's go through this list. Number one, this is number one on my list. Do you take insurance? No, I'm totally fucking kidding with that. You know, I think I have to kind of throw it out there. In general, just with the way that things are going, it is more difficult to get good quality care when you go to a provider who accepts insurance. And I should say a physical therapist that accepts insurance. Mainly because insurance in many states reimburses so low that the facility is forced to see multiple patients at once in order to cover their overhead and keep the lights on and make a profit. Like, at the end of the day, let's call a spade. Like, we have a business so that we can make money and so we can continue doing the thing we want to do. Like, I think that PTs and people are like, oh, so we got to keep the lights on and eat. Like, you got to also make money too, because this is a business, not a hobby. So in general, if you want to try and go through insurance, awesome. But my default, and if you guys message me, I am always going to recommend providers who don't take insurance, because all the people that I recommend don't take insurance. So that's not the first question I would ask. The actual first question that I would ask is, how long are your treatment sessions? And then I'd follow that up with, how much time do I actually get to spend with you? Or if you're on the phone with like a front desk person, how much time do I get to spend with the PT? Or the provider who I'm trying to see. Because something that you might see in some places is that, yeah, it's a 45-minute treatment, but you're with the physical therapist for 20 minutes. And maybe that's not, you know, a bad thing for you, but I know me personally, I wouldn't want to go there. And two, I've worked in that setting and it's just not ideal. It burns the therapist out. You're just trying to juggle people. It's not an ideal thing. Okay. So how long are your treatments? How much time will I spend with the actual PT? You can kind of dovetail that and say, do you have AIDS? Will I be working with the AIDS, or will I be working specifically or exclusively with the PT? I'm going to tell you right now that when you call and ask these questions, you may come off as annoying, and that is totally okay. You need to be your own best advocate. These questions need to be asked. And if you're getting any kind of attitude or anything from the person on the phone, you probably don't want to go there, okay? When you're there, so if you are, let's say, asking these questions in person, use that time to kind of look around, or use that first session. Like, you can go to a session and never go back. That's fine too, right? Remember, invest the time and invest the money. Use that time to look around and see, like, are there a gazillion people there? Are they getting worked with one-on-one? Is the PT looking like they're going to kill themselves because they're trying to juggle a million people? Like, ask the questions, look around, and just see what that actual space is like. So question number three that I would ask that provider: what is your treatment philosophy? What is your treatment approach? And this ties back into number two, in thinking about what matters to you. So I'm not going to tell you what a good model should look like, but realistically, since the end goal is to empower you and to have you not need our services, what's at the heart of this model should be movement and empowering and education of some sort. It shouldn't be like, well, we use only modalities or anything like that. It is totally okay if they use modalities. I use modalities, I use tools, I use tape, but that shouldn't be the heart of the treatment. I say it all the time, and I stole this from Andre Ospina: you shouldn't expect active results from passive interventions. Things like manual treatment, things like tools, tape, you know, et cetera, cups, they're great, but they're passive. And so you're never going to get that end result, that ultimate active end result with just those. So when you're asking this person, one, tie it into point number two or the things that matter to you. And also, I'd be looking for someone that really does have empowerment and making this person independent, or making you independent, at the center of their treatment model. Realistically, if you've gone through the points so far and you did number one, where you're doing your own research, kind of trying to help yourself, and you've written down what matters to you, you're going to have a rough idea of what you really want that treatment model or treatment philosophy to look like. All right, question number four, I think we're on here. Who do you like working with? Right, go ahead and ask that person. And flip side, again, for my providers out there, you should be able to say the type of person that you like working with. Like, I like working with athletes. I like working with, you know, the older population, whatever. I brought Jill Coleman on, and I'll put that in the show notes, for an awesome fucking episode. And she does this drill called niche and pitch. And I think that you guys should all listen to that episode and then do that and figure out, who do I really like to treat? Who don't I like to treat? What am I really good at? What am I really bad at? And then market that, put that out there, so that people who are looking for providers know right away, this provider is really good at this. They love doing this. They love working with this kind of person. They don't like working with this kind of person. I fit into those boxes. This could be a really good fit. The flip side, there's nothing wrong with asking that person, who don't you like working with? You know, what type of injuries or anything like that don't you like working with? Like, me personally, I don't like working with kids. And I don't do neuro, like true, you know, traditional neuro, like CVAs, TBIs, anything like that, that is way outside of my wheelhouse, I don't do that. So it is perfectly fine to ask that person. And flip side, as a provider, it is perfectly fine to niche yourself down. One of the reasons that I went to NYU was because they promoted that they graduate generalists. And now looking back on it, I was like, damn, I actually didn't want that. All right, going in, because you don't know anything, you're like, oh, great, I want to be good at everything. And then afterwards, and now looking at how where I'm at with things, it's much better to know what you like doing and what you don't like doing. And then don't do the things that you don't like doing, because you're only going to come to resent that person at the end of the day. So as a patient, client, whatever, definitely ask that person, you know, what's your ideal client? Who do you really like working with? What gets you amped? And then flip side, what don't you like? What do you avoid? Question number 5, do you have a specialty or something that you really like treating? This ties into the last question and is really good for, you know, marketing as the provider, but it also kind of clues you in. Like, does this provider love working with CrossFit athletes? Is that their specialty? Are they like the SI joint low back pain specialist? It's funny because when I first graduated, I absolutely hated low back pain. I was like, I don't know what the fuck to do with this. I don't know how to treat it. Like, maybe I'll massage you for 30 minutes and then like do some planks. I don't really know. And it's really morphed and become what I would say is one of my specialties, is treating low back, treating SI joint pain. I love it. In my Maestro course, like, we talk about it a lot. It's something I really like doing. And if that's you, put that on your site. Flip side, if that's you as a patient, it's okay to ask the provider, like, do you have a specialty? Is that it? My girl, Court Conley, right? Gate Happens. She's a perfect example of this. She loves treating feet. That's her thing. And people know this. People are going to come to her for feet because she's marketed the shit out of it, that she is the foot person. She's walking around with that foot model all day. Like, she loves it. You have back pain, something like that, like, she could help you, but that's not what she's passionate about. So she's not marketing that. It makes everyone's day that much better. Yes, these providers could help you, but let's go for the best fit. Go for that person that's like, yeah, I freaking love this. And because I love it so much, even if I don't know exactly what is going on, we are going to figure it out, because this gets me amped, right? I'm getting amped over here. Like, my arms are waving, but ask these questions. The flip side of that would obviously be asking that person, are things that you don't like treating? And you as a provider, be okay saying that. I get it. If it's like you're brand new and you're just trying to like start and get anyone, all right, cool. Then maybe you take everyone, but you will see that you start to resent the things that you don't like doing. So just be careful with that and understand that it's okay to brand yourself as like, this is the thing that I do. Actually, top of my head, right? I recently got to meet in person this amazing young man, Dr. Tim Wu. He is on social media at SoCalBike PT. And he's the perfect example of like the niche and pitch of marketing yourself and what you're good at and what you like to do. This man is all about cycling. That's what he does. He loves bike fits. He loves, you know, helping riders get better. All the things that I'm like, I don't know. That's not what I do, right? So if someone came into me and they were like, you know, I'm a cyclist and I have some back pain, like, I could probably help them in some way or to some extent, but that's not what I do, and it's not what I like doing. So my first instinct is going to be, hey, refer out to Tim, because he's branded himself so well and really made it apparent, this is what I do. So as a plug for him, because honestly, I just love this dude. If you are looking for anything bike-related, cycling-related, like, this guy, he loves it. He is to cycling what Court Conley, Gate Happens, is to feet, right? This is his thing. So if you're looking for bike stuff, SoCal Bike PT, right? Okay, so the final question, and this is just like a kind of not an arbitrary list, but it could be way more. It's not, what is the word I'm looking for? It is not an exhaustive list, but just the final question, so I can just wrap this up, is, are you cool with me weighing in on treatment plan? Right? Just, you can specifically put that out there. And this ties into point number 2, figuring out and writing down what is important to you, and ties into that overarching theme of realizing the relationship that's going to be had here moving forward, that it's this coach player, if you will, relationship. So maybe that's not something that you care about as much, but these are things that you should feel comfortable asking and that your provider should feel comfortable answering. Okay, so let's just review those four steps, and then I'll give you some other overarching themes, and then I'll wrap it up. This is definitely not a true Thursday shorty, and we knew that going in. So, number one, do your own research and try to help yourself. Number two, figure out and then write down what matters to you. Write it all down. Number three, ask around and then do some research. Number four, invest the time and the money. Go do the damn thing. Put yourself in that environment and see how you feel. Okay, so before I wrap this up, I just want to touch on a few points that they didn't fit into the kind of four-step model, but still very relevant to this topic. So number one, if you're in your current physical state is that you're like just in so much pain and that's what's just dictating everything and you can't really think and anything like that, like my recommendation is going to be to bring someone with you. So you could have them go through all four steps with you if you want, but if let's say you just are going to a provider, bring someone with you so you have this kind of that support system and also that like objective kind of level-headed, clear-minded, whatever person that's with you, because you may not be able to process this yourself because you're just like living in the pain, okay? Number two, as it relates to what kind of provider to see, because I get that question a lot, like, should I see a PT? Should I see a chiro? And the answer is you should see someone who is good at what they do. And then the next question was like, how do I know if they're good at what they do? Well, listen to this whole episode. So this applies to the steps that I'm talking about or that I listed before, applies to any kind of provider, whether they're a PT, a chiro, a trainer, whatever, massage therapist, anything. Because you go through those steps and you figure out kind of what you need, what you want, what you're looking for, what matters, and then you can go from there. You take it through steps three, you go to step four, you actually do the thing, and then you figure out, like, is this the direction I want to be going, or is it not? So applicable to any profession, right? Because, you know, let's face it, at the end of the day, it's not the degree that's going to determine if that person can help you or how much they help you. So, you know, whatever you're looking for, let's go through those few steps there. And then if you got to put in the time, if it ends up not working out, then you go and you see someone else. Point number three, PTs or practitioners who are listening to this episode, flip it around and use this for your marketing. These are the things that you should be putting on your website, putting out on Instagram, right? Putting out on social channels, whatever, your newsletter, whatever. These are the messages that you should be sending so that the patient doesn't even have to ask those questions, or they can see right off the bat, oh, I see what this person stands for, what their messaging is, what they believe in, what they like doing, what they don't like doing, who they like working with, etc. And it just kind of allows for both parties to meet each other that much easier. And last, I put this episode and the answer to the question back on the person who asked it, right? The question came from someone looking for a good provider, and I didn't necessarily give you a specific set list. I tried to give you some direction, but at the end of the day, I really want you to put yourself first. What you feel matters. What you believe in matters. What you think matters. What you want matters. And that means you got to kind of figure those things out first. Tying back into that overarching theme that I gave you, PTs are coaches. This is not the allopathic model. As such, you need to be an active participant in it. You don't go to a PT clinic, you don't go see a PT or a chiro and get fixed. You go and work with this person and they guide you. The best way they're going to guide you is if you have some idea of where you're starting and you have some idea of where you're trying to go and you are willing to actually put in the work and do the thing. You're going to notice that, or maybe you did notice that I didn't list any specific courses or anything that I feel that the provider should have taken, because just because they took a course or read a book doesn't mean that they're going to be good. If that were the case, then you wouldn't be asking me this question in the first place, because you'd be like, oh, they went to school, they have a DPT, they're good. So instinctively, you know that it's not just based on letters after their name or anything like that. So yes, there are some courses out there that can give people, you know, better education, but it doesn't mean that they're actually going to utilize any of it, because people could come to course and then go back and do whatever they want. Flip side, just because someone hasn't attended a course doesn't mean that they aren't good, right? So that's kind of why I steer away from, you know, saying, recommending that you go to the provider and be like, have you read Explain Pain? because maybe they haven't, but they are still, you know, they have empathy and they have common decency and they treat you like a human and they listen and they make you feel safe. And that's what matters. So I'm going to avoid giving specific course names, but I would say if that is something that matters to you, then you need to, within those four steps I gave you, go and figure out yourself what courses would be important. And there you have it, folks. How to find a good provider. The sheer length of this episode should tell you that it's not a simple thing. Like, oh, they have this and then it's going to be good. I really want to convey the fact that you are a human, and as such, your needs, wants, expectations, whatever, they're going to differ from someone else. And so I just kind of wanted to give you a framework to work within. And then that step number four that I gave you is really, it's where the rubber meets the road. That's the important one. You got to just go out there and try and experience this and find that person and actually feel the feels, be in that room and see how you feel. Put yourself first. That in mind, two things. If you live kind of in the middle of nowhere, one, you got to either be willing to drive and go to a less middle of nowhere place, even if it's just for one session to get some guidance. Call first, talk to that person, see about setting up one session. Maybe you do two sessions back to back so it's longer and you can at least get some guidance and a starting point. Right? Number two, if that's not an option, I strongly, strongly, strongly encourage you to consider the digital route or the remote route and looking at an online provider. I spoke about this in a previous episode, but a few friends of mine and myself, we put together this thing called Squad Medical, and it is an online platform where clients can come and get online consults from very, very, very qualified professionals. So if you are finding that, like, yeah, I haven't found anyone, and like, this sounds great, but like, there is no one, check out www.squadmedicalconsultants.com. I will, of course, link that in the show notes for those of you that can see them. But once again, that is www.squadmedicalconsultants.com. And you'll be able to check out bios. I'm on there, but I don't treat through there. I'm doing more of the back end stuff. But it's an awesome resource, and my goal always is to provide resources for you guys and help you out. So that's why I made this podcast episode, and that's why we came up with Squad Medical Consultants. So check that out. Okay, I am officially wrapping it up here. Let's close the loop of learning, recap what we went through, and then I'll sign out, right? Overarching themes that I wanted you to take with you throughout the entire episode was, one, physical therapists are coaches, not allopathic medical doctors. And then point number two, look yourself in the mirror, be brutally honest with yourself. Ask yourself, am I looking for a good provider? Am I just looking for someone who will say what I want to hear? Very different. And then we went through those four steps that I think anyone should go through if they're looking for a provider, which is number one, do your own research and try to help yourself. Number two, figure out and write down what matters to you. Write it all down. Number three, ask around and then do some searching, do some research. Number four, invest the time and the money. Invest. Your health is an investment, not an expense. Okay, gonna sign out, but first I have a give and then an ask. The give for today is, if you are a medical provider, or even if you're not a movement provider, whatever, of any capacity, I came out with a ebook, I guess we'll call it, a digital download of the top five questions I think every provider should be asking. It just kind of sets the stage and very much ties into what we were talking about today. So if you want to grab that digital download, top five things that every provider should be asking during these initial evaluations, you can grab that. The link is www.themovementmaestro.com/5 questions. And that's the number five. So don't write it out, just the actual digit, five, right? www.themovementmaestro.com/5 questions. I'll link it in the show notes. Okay, my ask, not going to ask for any reviews, ratings, anything like that. All that I'm going to ask for is that if you like this episode, if it resonated with you, I'm going to ask that you share it with someone who you think could benefit from it. Like I said, the way that I feel we're going to improve or change, fix this healthcare system is from the bottom up, from the ground up, from the patients up. So if you have someone that you think this could help out, please share it with them. Okay, this is a long one. Thank you guys for being so patient and tuning in for the whole entire thing. Until next time, friends, Maestro